1 Samuel chapter 30. I love to study the life of David.
Amen.
I've got a big, thick book by A.W. Pink, and I've read through it one time. It's 700-something pages, I think, and almost through it again, and occasionally will refer to it. But most of the time you mention David, and everybody thinks of Bathsheba and the sin they committed, and that was terrible, and David paid a high price for that.
Right.
But God said, David's a man after mine own heart.
Amen.
That's in the book of Acts. And if you'll go on and read, you'll find out why it was. Because he'll do all of my commandment. He wasn't like Saul. He told Saul, said, you go down there and get rid of those Amalekites, every one of them. So I don't even want to hear a sheep bleeding when you get done. But he went down there and he did part of it and part of it he didn't. But when he sent David, when he come back, the job was done.
Amen.
And obedience. God puts a great premium on obedience.
Amen.
And so David was. Now this is an incident here that caught my attention years ago. But again, as I was studying for the message this morning, it seemed like God led me to this again. Verse 1, and it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were there in. They slew not any either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. You know, that's a marvel right there. That's providence. Anyway, I may touch on that a little later. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I'll tell you, that's a situation to be in, isn't it? When you cry out all you can cry, and you can't cry anymore.
Right.
And David's two wives were taken captives, Anoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's kind of the thought I want you to get. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them and without fail recover all. Now we'll look at some more probably in the chapter, but for the sake of time, that's all I will read right now. May God add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. May he speak to our hearts this morning. Now, there's primarily three thoughts in this that I want to deal with. David's dilemma. Then also, I want you to notice that David wasn't David didn't go to despair.
Right.
This is important.
Right.
And also, David got deliverance. See, the first thing that a lot of times we would think about, you come back and find such a disaster as that, we'd just despair.
Mm-hmm.
Or either we would get together an army and take off after them. No, David didn't despair, but David inquired of the Lord. Why? He knew that his God was sovereign, and he knew his God knew where they were and what was going on. And so David goes before the Lord and begins to inquire about what to do. No presumption with David. He didn't tell the men, line up now and get ready. We're going to go get that bunch. No. First thing he did was that he besought the Lord. And you'll find that a lot of times in David's life. David inquired of the Lord, and you notice what he said? He said, "Shall I pursue this troop?" In other words, should I go after them? If I do, shall I overtake them? No presumption on David's part. And the Lord said, "Yes." He answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Now, I've been in a few scrapes in my about nearly 48 years in preaching. Believe it or not, but there's been a few people got mad at me. You wouldn't think so, but they did. And I never was proud of it. I never did like to start a fight. I might have started a few. But sometime they come to you whether you're looking for them or not. And so here, David and them had gone off, and when they came back, they had invaded Ziklag and had taken all of the women and children and all they had and left with them. These Amalekites. And David said the people was the point to stone him. Watch something, isn't it? When things go wrong, the preacher's in trouble. The leader, whoever he might be, because they point the finger. The only one that I know of that never gets any bad press for what he does wrong is our present president. He never does anything wrong as far as the liberal press is concerned. But most of the time, when things are going bad, then the leader he's got to take the heat. And so the people were all so brokenhearted and so that they thought about stoning David. Well, how would that have helped the situation any? No, they needed David more than they knew they did. And so David, when he got over his crying, he went to the Lord and inquired and asked him, said, "Shall I pursue after this troop and shall I overtake it?" The Lord said, "Yes." Anyway, if you notice, like I say, something I want to, because we're facing some dilemmas whether we want to believe it or not. And we better learn how to deal with them. Our families are at stake. Our way of living, our way of thinking is all under attack. And I'm telling you, it's closer to us, I believe, than most people, any of us, really realize. I believe they could draw the net this very day and no one would do anything about it. I believe they could declare martial law over all this country and bring that wicked program to where it would not be opposed. And I don't think anyone would do anything about it. That's sad. But it's reality. We better know what to do. And the only thing we can do is inquire of the Lord. God's sovereign. He's omnipotent. Songwriter said on this, he's omnipotent, on this you can rely. He's a God of miracles. It's written in the sky. We serve a great God.
Amen.
And God loves his people, and he's going to care for his people if we'll learn to rely on him and do like David did, instead of despairing and taking off on our own. We go to God and say, "Lord, how do we handle this situation? We know it didn't come on us without you knowing it. God knows all there is to know about it." You know, when they went on their way, Bible says in verse 10, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, the spirit came again to him, for he had not eaten bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. Now, we would look on that as one of the horrible things that his master did to him. He had used him, but he got sick, and what did he do? He left him behind, let him lay there and suffer and die. But I'll tell you, there's no accident with God.
Amen.
He's the key to David finding that group and getting back everything they had stole from him.
Amen.
And so they find that, folks, nothing just happens.
That's right.
Nothing. I believe in absolute providence or predestination. You see, how do you reconcile that with free agency? I don't reconcile it. They're both taught in the Bible. I just believe both of them. But that Egyptian slave that nobody cared anything about, we don't even know what his name was, but yet he was the key to David and his men finding that bunch of Amalekites and getting back from them everything they had stole from them.
Amen.
God works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform.
Right.
They saw the boy, then it's bad, but they got him, and so they gave him something to eat, out, no doubt out of compassion. And when he revived, they questioned him. He said, yeah, he said, I know where they are, and I'll take you there, I'll lead you there, but you got to make a commitment to me that I'll not be turned back over to my master again. So David and them made that deal with him, and through this young man's knowledge, he took them down to the valley, and there they were down there celebrating. Now, it's like a bunch of wicked sinners. There they'd stole everything they had, including their family. There they are down there drinking, dancing around over the spoil. That's the devil's bunch. That's the way they operate. If they can spoil the children of God, they'll do it.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, theirs was short-lived.
Amen.
And David and them found them, and after that, and David said unto him, to whom belongest thou? Where art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. And we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Now, we'll go on that in a minute. You know, this reminds me of something. You see how they were rejoicing? They thought they had the victory. That reminds me of the liquor crowd. You'd think the greatest thing that ever happened to Trigg County, Kentucky, is when they won that liquor vote by 30-something votes. Oh, they brag now how much money it's bringing in. I saw something where they said they brought in so many thousand more out there at the state park because they could sell liquor. I thought, you bunch of ignoramuses.
Amen.
That's what they are.
Right.
The Bible said, woe be unto him that puts a bottle to his neighbor's lips.
Amen.
Makes him drunken.
Amen.
That his nakedness might appear.
Right.
See, that's what this was. This bunch was drunk, and they was down there celebrating what they'd done, you know, to the Lord's people.
Amen.
And boy, don't you ever think in Cadiz they're not doing everything they can do to rub her in. Of course, they promised there wouldn't be but one or two liquor stores. Well, that's one or two too many.
Amen.
But they won't stay with it. I told somebody at the time, I said, there'll be one on every corner for long.
Yeah.
I said, they'll lie about it. They always do. You go to any other town that they voted it in.
That's right. Yeah.
When they had a vote in Madisonville, Kentucky, three times while I was pastoring there. And once after I left, I think that's the one they got it in. And I was preaching on the radio up there, and the Christian radio station. And I laced pretty good into the mayor, and that bunch is leading the fight for liquor. And I told him, I said, one day you'll give an account to God for the blood. Went on and on, and the mayor wrote me a letter. At that time, I was a missionary in Canada, and he said, you just welcomed our town. I thought I ought to be. I lived here for years. Still a citizen here. I didn't need his welcome. But he said, I came out of my office. We'd had a meeting, and I got in my car, and my radio was on WSOF. And said, what did I hear? But he said, a preacher on there from Canada calling me a drunkard. Well, he is a liar. I never called him no drunkard. I don't even know whether he drinks or not. I was after him over helping lead the fight.
Right.
Cox was his name. He said, and on and on. And he said, I can't remember all the way. I still got the letter. And what was so bad about it, I was going to go confront him with it, but for some reason the other, the tape recorder didn't work, and I didn't have it on tape. So all I had then was my word against his, so I just let it alone. But see, they'll always change it around. He said I called him a drunkard. I never called him no drunkard.
Right.
I never called any of them drunkards. I said, what you're doing, according to the Bible, you'll have to give an account to God one day for what you've done to this town.
Amen.
And I still say that.
Amen.
I know they've said now, well, ain't nothing happened. Hey, it ain't over yet.
That's right.
Amen. The wheels of God grind slow but exceedingly fine.
That's right.
I preached over there at fellowship meeting the other night about David having a famine 3 years in a row, year after year. Do you realize that that's for Saul's sin, and Saul had been dead 30 years or better? God don't forget about it, folks.
Right.
So I still believe the officials of all of these places, these counties and towns that's pushing for liquor to be sold legally there, one day will give an account for it.
That's right.
Well, they said you got bootleggers. I said, put them in jail.
Amen.
Right. You give them a license, you can't put them in jail. But if you got a bootlegger, put him in jail.
Amen. Amen.
And don't tell me you can't catch them. Most of the time, somebody's getting paid off.
Yeah.
Little old town of Salem, Kentucky, and I was growing up, they said bootleggers had to wear a pen there to keep selling it from each other. So many of them. Bootlegged on every corner. Nobody cared. They didn't try to catch them. So all of that. But see, these folks thought they had the victory, and they were just having a real time there. But he said here in verse 17, and David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Isn't that just like God?
Amen. That's right.
No half victories with God. They never laid their hand on any of the women, on any of the children. Why you think they didn't? I'll tell you, because the hand of God restrained them.
Amen. That's right.
And I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
The forces of the devil would do a lot of things if it wasn't for the restraining hand of God.
Amen.
I look back over my life sometime, and I can see so many places. If God hadn't intervened, I'd have probably been killed. As a young lad growing up, rebellious. And I look back on it sometime now, and I just about weep. How foolish I was, but how good God was.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he told David, he said, you pursue them, and you will catch them, and you will recover all And the Bible says here that David recovered all.
Amen.
And then not only that, but David took all the flocks, the herds, which they drave before the other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Bezor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people, and that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Isn't that something? Wasn't angry with them, didn't find fault with them because they couldn't go, but he saluted them. What a heart David had. Then answered all the wicked men of Belial to those that went with David and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." Then David said, "Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand." He said, "No, nothing like that will take place." Devil always gets his bunch in, don't he? Without fail. Here they were, riding with David, had seen the great victory, seen all God done. And then they wanted to deny those men who was too faint. Not lazy. Not lazy, not cowards.
Right.
But they were so faint that they could not go another step. And David said, "Y'all tarry here with the stuff." When they come back, then that other crew said, "I just don't give them nothing. They no good." But David saluted them. They were men of war. There's men that had fought with David. And David said, "They're going to get what's coming to them." He said, "You wicked men, you're not going to do that." David had his warts, you might say, but David had a good heart. David had a heart after the Lord and for the Lord.
Amen.
And God honored David. He did not overlook his sin. From the time David fell into that great sin, seemed like he never had another real day of peace.
Right.
But God never turned him out. He never removed him from being king. He didn't allow anybody else to do it. But David paid. He paid in his family.
Right.
Remember, he said, when the prophet Nathan went down and revealed that parable to him, and David rose up and he said, "That man said he'll pay fourfold and he'll die." How self-righteous we can get.
Yes.
And Nathan pointed his finger and said, "Thou art the man." But again, to see David's heart, he fell off his throne on his face, began to confess. He said, "I've sinned against God." Oh, today, give me Christians that can repent and can have compassion. Way with hard-heartedness. We don't need that.
Amen.
Amen.
God help us. We need the Lord, folks.
Amen.
We need the power of God. Just stand together for prayer, and I'll ask the pastor to come close the service out. But if God has spoken to your heart this morning, why don't you listen to Him?